I invite you to open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. I was all ready to do my series through the book of Malachi, and Malachi chapter 3 is probably a passage that a lot of people know. You know, 60 ways on how to give more money to the church. And I figure you probably didn't want to hear that today, so I'll go with Romans chapter 5. And here's a passage of scripture that's been helping me get through what we've been going through over the last few weeks. And I pray that this would be an encouragement to your soul as well. Anybody ever eat ice cream, lick an ice cream cone off of a, lick some ice cream off of a pine cone? Anybody ever do that? It's sweet and it hurts at the same time. And that's life, isn't it? It's sweet and it hurts at the same time. There are beautiful things about life that we see the Lord doing, and then there's things that are very hard and it's very hard to get through. Some of you know that we had it all planned, that trip a few months ago. We had it planned that we were going to go see my mom before we go to the Dominican. We had it all planned out. We were excited about it. In fact, I was going to introduce Alex to her and others, and you know, Johnny and Joshua were going to go. And we had our tickets for the Thursday before our Dominican trip. And then we find out my mother has an aneurysm in her stomach. And so we knew that that was pretty dangerous. And so she was looking at different options, and she went to go see one doctor, and she really didn't have any peace. And so she does her Google searching. Google search can get you in trouble, you know. And she Google searches, and this guy comes out, Dr. Rigotta, an Italian. And she says, Jeremy, this is it. The Italian's going to operate on me. And she was making all kinds of jokes about how she was hoping that afterwards she wouldn't turn out to be pasta or something like that, you know. And she had all the jokes going on. And so the surgery was set for the 25th, the 2 days before we got there. And it was a less invasive 2-hour surgery. And she was hoping to be at the hospital, you know, that day. Well, she went in at 6, and you guys know, some of you know the story. She went in at 6 a.m. in the morning. The stents, that went great. They got the stents in. Everything was good. And then it became 1 o'clock. A piece of plaque broke off and got into her veins, and so they couldn't stop the bleeding. And so then now it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and she's still not out of surgery. Now it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and she's still not out, and we're getting really worried. Things are not going well. But the doctors never said they were not going well. They just said that we're trying to... and so at that time, I think they got one leg to stop bleeding, but they're trying to get the other one. And then 7 o'clock at night came. And that's when I felt like a knot in my stomach. And I just went by myself and started to pray that God would have mercy on her. I didn't want her to be in surgery all day. And at 11 o'clock, we got a call that she didn't make it. And she's now better off than she's ever has been. But that was unexpected news. Do I go on a mission trip knowing that? You know, what do you want, God? What do I do? And so we just were praying, and I told Katie, I have no expectations. If the family wants to have the funeral right away, we'll have the funeral right away. I won't go to Dominican. I don't need to go to Dominican. You know, whatever God would have. And as we went and talked to the family and everything, that was never even an option. They were going to have the funeral after the Dominican trip. They had it all planned out. And then God brought those scriptures to mind in Philippians chapter 1, where Paul talks about, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And then Paul says, and if God keeps me here, he's going to keep me here so that I can make an impact for his kingdom. And I said, Lord, you've kept me here. I want to make an impact for your kingdom while I can. And so we got on the plane and we went to the Dominican. That was hard with our hearts in our stomachs ministering in a Dominican, and God, it was just one thing after another that was happening. There were good things happening. It was amazing, the opportunities we get to preach. But then the hurricane was coming, and it's not hurricane season, And so there is no plan B. You got to have baseball outside. There's no way you can do it under a roof, you know, unless you do sock baseball. Anybody ever do that? But anyway, and so we're stuck with the rain, and it rained out a couple of our camps, and we can only get 5 of the 10 camps out. And yet, in the midst of all that, we saw 70 kids, around 70 kids, come to Jesus Christ. And it was amazing what God was doing. But then we get back on that Monday, and the funeral was on Wednesday, the celebration of life, sir. And during the trip, one of our key leaders got this virus or sickness where he was vomiting and he was couch ridden for about 48 hours. And nasty, nasty virus. And Monday, I meet with my stepdad and we eat, and afterwards I start to get the chills and I start shaking. And I'm freezing, and I told the kids, shut off the air conditioners, I'm freezing. It's hot, but I was freezing. And I go to bed, I get up, I'm throwing up, I'm sick to my... I said, what in the world? We got a celebration of life service in 2 days, and I can't even move now. And I got my brother coming into town, and I remembered, God brought the memory, that I had these pills with me. I don't know if they're legal or illegal, but I had these pills with me that would help with sickness when you go on a trip. And so I got him out of the box. I took two. You're only supposed to take one. But I took two of them. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came back. And I feel great. And the stomach is gone. The stomach issues. The chills are gone. And I'm walking. And praise the Lord. We had a wonderful celebration of service. Life service for her. And God really blessed. And I know it's because of your prayers. But it was just one thing after another. Have you ever been there? Where it's just one thing after another. Where God is just putting you through the ringer. And when you think it just can't get any worse, it gets a little worse. And you're praying and you're asking God to work, but yet it's just going through the ringer. And that just brought me to this passage today. I want us to look at Romans 5 because I want to show you in verses 1 to 5. Scriptures that have been so encouraging to my heart, and I pray that they're encouraging to your heart. The title of the sermon is When God Puts Us Through the Ringer. How do we respond during those times, and what should we remember during those times? And in this passage, I see two beautiful truths found here in the scriptures. To remember and to reflect on when God is putting us through the ringer. The first one we're going to find in verses 1 and 2, we're going to find that no matter what happens in this world, our standing with God is secure. That'll never change. Our relationship with God, it's secure. And then we're going to notice in verses 3 to 5 that God is more concerned about our character than he is our comfort. And oftentimes we want the comfort part, but God is more concerned about our character than he is our comfort. And we're gonna look at that, Lord willing, in verses 3 to 5. But notice the first thing here in verse 1 of chapter 5 of Romans chapter 5. Notice what he says here. He's going to say here, our standing with God is secure no matter what happens. He's going to remind us about this before he talks about God putting us through the ringer. He says here in verse 1, therefore, having been, past tense, justified by faith. The word justified means we've been declared innocent. We're declared right before God. As you're watching the news when Alec Baldwin, when charges were thrown out and he started weeping, I'm here to tell you, our charges have been thrown out by God's grace. And we're innocent. You say, but I don't feel innocent. I don't look innocent. Well, you're not. But God declares you innocent. And how does God declare us innocent? It's not by us being good people or by going to church or doing good works or earning it. It says right here in verse 1, we are declared righteous by what? By faith. The moment we put our trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, that he died for our sins, was buried and rose again, and our faith is in him alone. The moment we do that, all the charges are gone. Now here's what's amazing. There are people who like to charge us anyway. Satan loves to bring up things. The mind loves to bring up things. People we know love to bring up things. In fact, in Romans 8, it says, who is he who condemns? But then it says right here, but God is the one who justifies. We are justified by faith. We have the charges thrown out. We are declared righteous by God. We have this relationship with him. And you say, what does that mean to me today? Look at this in verses 1 to 2. He's going to say three things. He's going to say the first thing it means that we are justified by faith is now we have peace with God. Now don't miss this. It doesn't say the peace of God. Because the last thing that we have when we're going through the ringer is peace. Now God does provide peace sometimes that surpasses all understanding. And we know that we can have that peace during the trial. But there's often times that we don't feel that peace. We don't have that inner, oh, everything's okay. In fact, we feel that turmoil and we wonder, what in the world is God doing? But here's what's amazing. He's saying here, he doesn't say we have the peace of God. In fact, people try to get peace in so many different ways. They go out, they meditate, they do different things. We had a guy, he's from India. They all were calling him the Hindu with us. You know something you can never say to a Hindu? You only live once. Bad one? Don't use that one. Probably not, right? Rough crowd. I knew you guys would. I figure after 2 weeks, you guys would lighten up with jokes with you. All right, that's a bad one. I shouldn't make fun of him. It's bad karma. Anyway, let's go on to. No? Don't use that one either? Okay, let's move on. They look at peace, what? Meditating. They use essential oils. They try to do different things to get peace. Everything's about peace. They want peace. They go for a walk to get peace. They do this for peace. Everything's about peace. And yet, they don't have peace in their hearts. And what he's saying is that we have to understand something, that this is not some subjective peace. This is objective peace. This is peace that we are now reconciled with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That now we have a relationship. We were once enemies of God. Now we are friends with God because of the cross, the burial, the resurrection, the blood of Jesus. Look at this with me. I want to show you this. In Colossians chapter 1, if you can turn with me. It's not on the screen, but Colossians chapter 1. I want to show you this in verse 20, what it says here about the peace we have with God. How do we have this peace with God? It says here in Colossians 1, verse 20, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Going back to Romans. Paul says this, I want you to understand something. The charges have been, you're innocent before God. You're declared righteous before God. And right now, you have a reconciled relationship with God. He is no longer your enemy. He is your friend. You're at peace with God. And we will never have that subjective, the peace inside of us, unless we have the peace with God. He's saying, you now are reconciled. You have a reconciled relationship with God. I was smiling when my niece walked into the funeral. She goes, what are you laughing at? My mother and my niece did not talk for 15 years. They were at odds with one another. But you want to know something that was amazing? Before my mother died, a year ago or so, they became friends again. They reconciled. It was beautiful. So much that my niece got on a plane from Connecticut to come down to be at my mother's funeral. There is something beautiful about a reconciled relationship. And what he is saying here is that we have a reconciled relationship with God. Our sins separated us from God. But now because of the blood of Jesus and faith in him, we now have peace with God. And that'll never change. And not only that, look at verse 2 here. We have been introduced to something. through whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have also obtained our introduction. We have an introduction. It's an interesting word there in the Greek. It is somebody who brings us into a room to present us to a king. We have been presented to someone. Who are we presented to? Look at this in the verse. It tells us. We have been presented to grace. You say, what's that? That is God's undeserved favor, his undeserved blessings, his divine favor upon us. No, we're not only not enemies, we have God's favor on our side. And we have a new way of living. We have this grace way of living. It's amazing that we live our lives being blessed by a God, and we don't deserve to be blessed by him. And yet he blesses us anyway. We have been introduced to grace. That is a wonderful word. God's undeserved favor. You say, how long am I going to be introduced to this grace? Look at this here. In which we stand. In other words, nothing is going to move us out of that. It's like an immigrant that goes to a country and gets permanent residence. I love that because we have that in Argentina. I love getting into the airport and standing in the line with other Argentines. And they look at us and say, what do you do, an American, in our line? And whop up, I pull it out. I'm a permanent resident in your land. You know what God's saying? We are permanent residents in the land of grace. And nothing is going to move us out of that. In fact, we stand in it, perfect tense. That's not going to change no matter what the circumstances say. And here's where this gets amazing. We stand in that grace. And what does that mean for us? Look at verse 2. And now we get excited about something. Now, I know I'm in America. In the Dominican, they get excited about anything you said. I'm like, let's open up the Bible. Amen! Let's study Jesus. Hallelujah! We're all saying, hey, praise God! Here in America, I say, and the Lord loves you. God's on your side. You're a permanent residence in his grace. You're at peace with God. I mean, we get excited about anything? You want to get excited about something? I got something for you to get excited about. The Yankees are back in first place. Amen? No, you're not excited, huh? You're not excited about nothing. Look what we should get excited about. Look at this here. We get excited. Look at this in verse 2. We exult. The word there is to rejoice, to get excited about, to boast about. What? We rejoice in the very hope. This is not just, I hope the weather's better. This is a certain hope. This is a certain expectation based on the promises of God. We are excited about the hope of what? The glory of God.
Amen.
Oh, finally, there we go. In other words, what he's saying is this. Before, we've fallen short of the glory of God. Our sins help us to fall short. We don't reach the glory of God, but because of Jesus, and because what he has done, and because of faith in his name, we now have hope that one day we are going to be in the glory of God. You say, what does that mean? That means glorified bodies, praise God. That means glorified people. Yes. Holy cow. How is my mother going to be right now when I see her? Well, she's not going to give me a spanking. Although I do need to be careful when I do hear that. I'm more nervous now than I was before. One thing we do know, she is going to laugh at my jokes. All right? And you guys will too. You will be glorified people. You will enjoy them. And you know why you're enjoying them? Because I'll be glorified too. I'll have better ones. You know what I mean?
Amen.
There we go. We got glorified bodies with glorified people. And this is probably the best part of it all, with a glorified Savior. It's beautiful. Doesn't get better than that. in a glorified environment. We're never going to hear of shootings. We're never going to hear of people breaking into homes and doing this and doing different things. We're never going to hear any. We're in a glorified environment with a glorified Savior, with glorified bodies, with glorified people. We stand in the very hope of that. That should excite us. And he says here, no matter what's going to happen to your life, no matter how God's putting you in a ringer, don't ever forget that you have peace with him. You have a reconciled relationship with him. That you are now in the land of grace. He is going to bless you whether you deserve it or not. He will bless you because that's our God. And here's what's amazing. One day we have the hope of being with him in glory.
Amen.
All right, we're excited now. Verse 3, I want to see how excited you are. And how excited I am. Because not only that, we get excited about something else. I mean, it's one thing to raise your hand and say, wow, praise God, we'll be with Jesus and glorified people. Praise the Lord, I'm going to be. Now watch this in verse 3. And not only this, but we also exalt, we also rejoice, we also get excited about, we also boast in our what? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's one thing for you to say amen to seeing Jesus. It's another thing for you to say amen when your doctor just told you you don't have much longer to live. Or amen when you get that call that she didn't make it through surgery. Or amen when your heart aches or when the pressures of this world just seem too much. Now, don't take this verse wrong before we start to explain why we're going to get excited here. He's not talking about people who have this sick pleasure and pain. Who look for problems. If they don't have problems, they go around and they have to have some kind of a problem. Or they create problems for their lives. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying the normal pressures, the things that happen in this life, the discouragements, the disappointments, the things that happen, we can rejoice in those too. How? Because there's a divine purpose for them. Look at the next word. Knowing. In other words, we will never be able to rejoice and thank God for these situations unless we know something. There's something we need to know and to understand and to really to live out. He's saying, you will exalt in tribulations when you know this. Know what? Knowing that the tribulation is producing something. Do you see it? It's bringing about something in you and in me. It's bringing about three things. Right here in the passage. It's bringing about perseverance. Hupomeno is the word. It means to stick it out. It means to remain. When the pressures are on, our immediate response is to run. Or our immediate response is relief. Or our immediate response is a remedy. God tells us to remain. Stick it out. Don't run from it. Allow God, wait for God to do his work. In fact, we will never learn perseverance unless we have a trial to persevere under. Now you want the good news? Here's the good news. As we learn perseverance, as we learn to stick things out, and we get through that situation, God gives us another one. I got one amen out of that one. I thought it was unbearable the first time I ever had my kid in my hands in the hospital. And Johnny was sitting there, he was sucking his thumb, he had an IV in his hand. And I thought, my poor baby, I don't know how in the world parents could do this. My baby in the hospital. I wish that was the only time my baby was in the hospital. That was one of many. And when we got to Argentina, our first couple months, we had two in the hospital at one time. He's teaching us to stick things out, to learn, to remain, to not give up. It says a lot about a person when they don't give up. When they don't run from situation to situation, to situation to situation, just trying to get relief. But they allow God to work in their lives and to produce something in them. Then as you notice this next thing here, to produce something in them that is called proven character. Literally in the Greek, it's one word. It means his stamp of approval. It's like God brings us through the ringer and then we get stamped. Oh, you went through boot camp? Ready to go. You went through this, you're on. He's just stamping us on. And if we run, there is no stamp. And let me tell you, it says a lot about a person who runs. I learned a lot about my friends in COVID. When situations got really tough and they were like, well, we'll see you in 3 months. We'll see you later. We're out of here. Wait a minute. Now's the tough part. Where are you going? I saw Rick with all his health issues say to me, let's go feed the truck drivers because all the restaurants are closed. Let's go feed them. Rick, with all his health issues, went to the truck stops in April of 2020 when we didn't even know what was going on. A lot we didn't know what was going on. Risked his life. That's a friend. Amen. That's someone who sticks with you. There is that proven character that God puts his stamp upon. And he's going to do it by putting us through the ringer. I was telling in the first service, our daughter Ellie, and I know I brag about her a lot, but she is absolutely amazing. Takes after her mother, looks like her father. Not one amen. Wow, I interrupted her. But I tell you, when Ellie went to work for Answers in Genesis, they did not know what they got. They started to give her work, and she is so efficient, she was getting it done, didn't have enough work. The boss is like, do you not have enough work? Do we have to give you more work? No, they gave her more work. They gave her more work and more work. Efficient, efficient, getting it done. They're bringing her up. Now she's doing things for Ken Ham himself. She started down doing little things. Now for Ken Ham himself. Who's the next person she's going to work for? God? They just keep moving her up. You know why? Because she's got her stamp of approval. They know they can count on her. And here's what he's saying is God is going to show our lives and through the ringer he's going to bring us and we're going to have this perseverance. We're going to stick things out. And then God is going to show this person is someone that you can trust. It's got proven character. And not only that, I love verse 4 because it brings us and deepens our relationship with God because it brings us to a point and not only our character is different, but our hope is different. Our hope has deepened. We have this certain expectation and this certain assurance. Here's what's beautiful. Our hope right now in God. So now we know through growing through the trial and sticking it out and allowing God to put a stamp of approval on it, we know that God is on our side.
Amen.
In fact, in other words, we know our faith is real. You know why? Because God has been with us this whole time. And we know I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for God. In fact, one of the last texts my mother wrote me is, Jeremy, I'm going to be okay because I have God on my side. She had a hope and an expectation in God that only comes from getting going through the ringer. He says it brings a hope. Now, I know what you're going to say. Now, how do we know this hope's not going to disappoint me? Because I've had hope in God a lot of times and he hasn't come through. So how do I know I'm not going to get disappointed? How do I know that he really is on my side? I mean, I know I have peace and this and that, but I can't feel that. How do I know that God is really with me? Next, look at the next verse. Hope does not what? Disappoint. It does not put us to shame. Everything else disappoints us. I mean, think about it. You go to doctors, they disappoint us. Your friends disappoint us. Presidents disappoint us. People in the world disappoint us. Co-workers disappoint us. Teachers disappoint us. You go down the line, people disappoint us all the time. Hope will never disappoint. You say, how do I know? Here's why. This is beautiful. Because, he says right here in the verse, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We know that hope will never disappoint us because the Holy Spirit assures us that, hey, no matter what you're going through, God loves you. In fact, how do I know God loves me? I know because if I'm disciplined, Hebrews 12, he loves me, disciplines me. I know because of the cross that he loves me. He demonstrated his love. I know because the scriptures say it. But I know because the Holy Spirit assures my heart. You know what, Jeremy? God's on your side.
Amen.
He loves you. In fact, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're not saved. But one of the benefits of having the Holy Spirit is that he assures us that God will work all things out for good. And God cares for us. And the Holy Spirit is there just like giving us a hug saying, it's okay, you're still loved by God. And he's going to work out all things together for good. When my stepfather, the day after my mother passed away, he was getting calls from different family members. And one of his granddaughters called. And it was beautiful. She said to him, Grandpa, I just want to hug you and tell you I love you. I'm just there for you. She didn't preach at him. She didn't tell him he needed to change his life or do certain things. She just said, hey, I'm there for you. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. In the midst of all that we're going through in the ringer, the Holy Spirit allows us to know, you know what? It's okay. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts. And there is nothing that will ever separate us from the love of God. And so when we're going through the ringer, we need to remember this. Our standing with God will never change. That he is more concerned with our character than he is our comfort. And that in the midst of it all, he loves us. He loves us. And he is going to do what is great and what is best for us. Do you believe that? I don't know what was harder. Seeing my father and then him dying 3 days after I saw him. Or being 2 days away from seeing my mother. And then she going to be with the Lord. I was waiting for one more hug. One more back scratch. I'll let you know, she still scratches my back at 50 years old. One more back scratch. One more knish together. One more joking around. One more time. I was waiting for one more time. I didn't think it was going to be the last time, but I was waiting for one more time. Now I'm still waiting. But praise God, there will be one more time.
Amen.
And I know no matter what, God knows what's best. He knew that she didn't need any more surgeries. That was the last one. He knew that it was her time to be with him. He knew that I needed to go to the Dominican with a broken heart so that God can use a broken vessel for his honor and glory.
Amen.
He knows what he's doing. The Holy Spirit assures us of that because the love of God's been poured out in our hearts. Don't forget that when you've been going through the ringer. Allow him to work in ways that only he can. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you, Lord. You know our hearts. You know the pain. You know, Lord, the questions. You know the doubts, the fears. You know everything about our hearts. And that's why you poured your love right there in our hearts. To reassure us that you're on our side. That you love us and you are going to do everything you can for our good and your glory. So thank you. Even though it may not work out the way we want it to, you know what's best. And so we open up our hearts to you. God, help us to remember that when we're going through the ringer, that our standing with you is secure. We've been justified, past tense. We don't earn that or deserve it. We just receive it through faith in Jesus Christ. And now we have a reconciled relationship with you. We have peace with you. We're no longer your enemies. We're no longer objects of wrath. We're no longer condemned. We now have a relationship with you. You are our Father and you are our friend. And we've been introduced to the land of grace, your undeserved favor. And wow, we receive all these blessings. I think about the building and other things, God. Only you. Thank you for that. And we are excited about one day standing in your glory. Glorified bodies with glorified people in a glorified environment with our glorified God. That should excite us. And often we don't think about that when we're going through the ringer. That this is just a piece of what we have coming, Lord. We have the great, wonderful comfort coming. Nothing can compare. These sufferings cannot compare to the glory that we're going to have with you. So help us not to forget that. And in the midst of it, while we're going through things that we may not like, help us to remember that you're producing in us a proven character and deepening our hope. So help us to stick things out. Everything inside of us wants us to run and quit and to give up. So help us, Lord, to persevere and remain for your honor and glory. We need you. Thank you so much for that. And Father, help us to remember that no matter what, we're loved by you. Reassure us of your love. Thank you for the Holy Spirit reassuring us of your love. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. All right, I'm going to invite Jesse, and I don't know who the other one is that's going to come and help us with communion time right now.
Can't bring up the kids.
Okay. Can't be too. Well, we have Walt to help us again. We have Walt.